WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
4 minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Definitely, it's a very, very cold morning. I know it's cold. It's cold here in Johannesburg. I don't know about in Durban. I don't know about in Port Elizabeth. I don't know about in Cape Town. I don't know about in overseas listeners out there. Well, here in Johannesburg, maybe I should say, let's welcome winter. Let's welcome winter. It's a bit cold this Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage Part 2. Remember, every Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's Part 1. And every Wednesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's Part 2. I want to welcome all the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I want to welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company. And I want to welcome my engineer brother Tobela, who's full of life this morning. He's looking a bit happy. I don't know what's the occasion, brother Tobela. He's not informing us. But anyway, let's welcome him into the program. Of course, we're waiting for our beloved senior fadilatul ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, hafidhahullah, who will be joining me shortly, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. It's a beautiful morning. Yes, we are in the month of Shawwal. It's the 3rd of Shawwal, 1441, which is also the 27th of the 27th of May, 2020. Well, as I was speaking about my beloved fadilatul ustad, he's just entered the studio, full of smiles. He's full of life as well. I think Ramadan did him quite well, subhanallah. And I see all the messages as well. He's beautiful. Smile on my Mubarak face. Well, our number is 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number to the international overseas listeners, +2784-786-3132. Let's welcome our ustad, inshallah, into the program. Remember, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Merkaz and listeners of Sirius FM, any questions you would like to pose, inshallah, please do feel free on 084-786-3132. Let's welcome our Ustad, inshallah, this morning, The Bliss of Marriage Part 2. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Barakallahu feekum, Ustad, to you as well for joining us, inshallah, this morning. Somebody wants to know, respected Mufti Sahab, if the wife has more wealth than the husband, does it create jealousy from the husband, Ustad? What can we do about it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praise is due to Almighty Allah the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. First and foremost, the husband needs to ask himself when he was selecting his spouse, what was his intention? I mentioned to you on several occasions in the past, O esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Innamal A'malu bin Niyat is a famous hadith. The first hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Riyadu Salihin. These are great, great authors and giants, and they each one are reminding us, whether we are a teacher, a student, a business person, whatever, Jaisi Niyat Vaisi Barkat, whatever your motive intention is, that is what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make apparent also in this world. So when you went for the proposal to this wife, what were you looking for? Because I don't think she became rich now post-marriage. She was rich already. So maliha, wali jamaliha, wali hasabiha. Did you go and look at the wealth and you're impressed? Maybe you are driving a VW Nissan and you know car like that. You said, let me marry here and then I will drive a Merc and a Porsche and what have you. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad that when your intention is to marry the lady for her wealth, for innama azallahu Allah, Almighty Allah will humiliate and disgrace you. And the second hadith, the one I quoted first now, limaliha wali jamaliha wali hasabiha in Mishkat Sharif and Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. People tend to marry because of wealth or beauty or wali hasabiha, which strata of society does she belong to? That maybe she's a prominent, famous family, so I become famous. And some people even change their surname to that of their mother to get famous, which is haram to do. And wali diniha, and remember this, their deen. So first, far bi dhati deen. So what you should remember is this, that success comes with the piety, with the character, and so forth. So that is what we, where we are in now. So your wife, mashallah, she's millionaire, and you have 100,000. So if you are jealous of her, so that's not her problem, it's your problem, because why did you marry her in the first place? And now you cannot dictate and start making, you understand, threats to her, intimidating her, that she must give some of her wealth to you or your children or for the expenses. Nay, all that responsibilities is on you, O husband, whether it's for the wife, whether it's for the children, whether it's for the medication. She on her own, without any duress, without any coercion, if she spends on her children, that are your children as well, or she spends on you, without duress, coercion, then only is it permissible.
Ustad, an urgent message, it says that Mufti Sahib, my wife has the disease corona. Authorities has put her in quarantine and we can't visit her, Ustad. This affecting our family life very badly. I can't cook, lazy to clean, and the kids are a menace. What do I can I read for her quick recovery? Anonymous, Ustad.
First and foremost, we know that normally quarantine will be 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending what they say. Secondly, that you must be now the father and mother for your children. And you can't say that, you know, when there's necessity is the inventor of many things. So now you have to come to your children and give them all the courage, my brother. You are the father now and the mother to a certain extent. You know what I mean? So you have to give them that confidence. So how are you going to give them confidence? So every day you sit with your daughters, with your sons, and say, come we pray for Ummi, come we pray for Mummy, and read the du'as in English. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. Oh beloved Allah, we seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, from the evil, terrible sicknesses, oh beloved Allah. That is an authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasa'i. Second one, Allahumma inna nas'aluka la'afwa wal'afiya. Ya Allah, we beg of thee forgiveness. Ya Allah, we ask of you afiya, safety, comfort, goodness in everything that is permissible. Allahumma shfi ummi. Allahumma shfi ummi. Let the children read. Let them cry. Some of them are ma'soom. Maybe they're 5, 6, 4, 7, 8, 9 years old. So their tears definitely will attract the mercy of Almighty Allah. Allahumma shfi ummi. And you as a husband, you must make dua. Allahumma shfi zawjati. Oh Allah, give shifa to my wife. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, now I appreciate my wife even more. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. When the ni'mat and bounty is snatched away, now we realize the value of that person. She was the mother to your 3-4 children. She is still, but with all her khidmat and service, it was just taken for granted. You as a husband just took her for granted. But now that vacuum is in there. Now you are operating as a dysfunctional family. So that's why you, brother, first thing, remain positive with Allah. Cry to Allah. Ya Allah. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Hadith in Sunan Nasai. Ya Allah, do not snatch away these bounties that are recurring and showering upon us. So remember, you read this abundantly, and you read, tell all the children, and you also read Surah Fatiha 7 times and cry to Allah. And one more thing, you, the husband, daily for your beloved wife, give out charity. I don't know your financial status, 1 rand, 5 rand, 50 rand, 20 rand, whatever you can afford. That is a commandment of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Da'u maradakum bi sadaqa. One dawa, one medication you give out as charity. And remember, that is that you give out the charity, and that is considered as one type of medication as well, meaning it will attract the mercy of Allah. The hadith is mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. We also make dua for your beloved wife, brother. Ameen. But you must give confidence to your children, and all must read La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Because all of you are worried, anxiety, and so many things. Allah says, read this verse, Surah 21, verse 87. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And similarly, Almighty Allah will rescue the believers. Allah give shifa to your beloved wife.
Ameen, 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 summa, ameen, summa, ameen. Brother is saying, Ustad, I feed my wife every day by hand, yet she bites my fingers. I know we insan. How long should we continue to forgive, Ustad, anonymous?
So why you don't feed with a teaspoon, my brother? So in that way, there both problems will get solved. That may be that she's doing it unintentionally, inadvertently. And if she's doing it intentionally also, so you should try and do the better thing now. Prevention is better than cure. So you feed her, because she might be ill, sick, whatever the case is, but feed her with a spoon, feed her with a teaspoon. If it is like pudding and something, the spoon is too big. So in that way there, that if she bites, you'll bite the spoon or the teaspoon. So brother, simple solution, there's nothing to fight about. And inshallah, every lukma, every morsel you're putting in the mouth of your beloved wife, remember, is walaka sadaqah. You're getting the reward of charity. So may Allah make easy for you, and Allah make easy for your beloved wife also.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Mufti Sahab, marriage comes with its shares of downhills. My wife now sits on WhatsApp to non-mahram males. How do I bring the spice back in our life, Ustad?
You know, when you want to go to the rose in the garden, you see the red, red rose. Then around the rose, there's many thorns, my brother. So you brought one rose in your house. But now you gave her the thorn also. Who bought that cell phone for her? Who taught her all the tricks and all this? So today, you take that cell phone away from her and you give her the Nokia. In Islam, there's no such thing. You have to provide your wife with a cell phone, with a smart cell phone. And it must be a, you know, a Samsung 11 and Samsung 31 and Samsung 20 and an iPhone and a Q phone. All that Islam don't say. Islam say, because of need and urgency and whatever, just give her one Nokia phone. Finish, the whole story will get solved about. So remember that you can then know where she is, where you are, and so forth. Because we live in very, very dangerous times. So some safe, easy way to solve the problem, just confiscate that cell phone from her. She don't deserve it, because she is also now abusing it. Then I have to turn my attention to you, husband. What you doing with your cell phone? Are you watching porn? Are you sending messages to strange women? Are you busy late at night chatting? So then you also, we have to take the phone away from you, brother. So you see, in life, it is وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So the women also have rights over the husbands, like how the husband have rights over the wives. But the husband have one extra right, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. That you are the captain of the ship. You have to spend on them. She don't have to spend on you. So my brother, both of you make sacrifices, and in that way you will save your marriage. The spice will come back, as you said in your question.
Who said I was molested as a child? Is it compulsory to tell my future spouse about this, Ustad?
Remember that if no one knows about it, then just keep it covered. Man satara musliman satarahullahu yawm al-qiyamah. But what you should do is, at least your father or mother, you should tell them that this uncle or this brother or this person did that to you and wanted to steal your innocence away from you, wanted to harm you and destroy your virginity and so forth. Therefore, I leave all these programs open, whether it's Q&A, whether it's Q&A with the morning program, or whether it is our bliss of marriage. We can't keep on pushing things under the carpet. We have to face the reality that all these things are happening now. Ma'al asafi shadid. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And it's happening in our own ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find incest is happening. Brother busy with sister, father. All these things, you can't believe what is happening. And And what then? What today I received a question about what one husband is doing to his wife and while she is fasting. Astaghfirullah. You can't believe that the ummah today is gone so low. But you must remember, therefore I remember the saying of our mother. We must go back 1400 years ago. Can you imagine? That the women coming straight directly to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they saying, Ya Rasulullah, my menses, my nifas, my this, my that. Siddiqa bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Rahimallahu nisal ansar, Allah have mercy on the ansar ladies. Ma mana'ahunna al-haya wa yatafaqahna fid-deen. That the women of Medina, that shame and modesty, which is an integral part of a female, that would not become an obstacle, an impediment for them in understanding the laws of Islam. So that is why we teach people these type of things here. So remember that we have to do these things here to show people that is happening in our society. Allah protect us, protect our children and progeny.
Somebody wants to know, Ustaz, that can my wife come to my grave after my demise, Ustaz, for du'as?
She can make du'a from the house. There's no need for her to come to the graveyard. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَائِرَاتِ الْقُبُورِ لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. So remember that if you go in normal times to a graveyard and you see ladies there, they will be busy with the gardenings. They will be busy there. They come with their top and their trouser. They come there, not properly dressed. Some come with makeup. So you can see so many issues. Hence Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith in Sunan Nasai, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the women who visit the graveyard. La'an Allahu zawwarat al-qubur. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's curse is on the women who visit the graveyard excessively. So all these are clear-cut ahadith, not permissible.
Subhanallah.
You will find some maulvis and ulama, they say permissible, but then they'll make 5-6 conditions. You know very well that those conditions will not be fulfilled. Idha fata shartu fata al-mashrut. You know when the conditions will not be fulfilled, so why pass the fatwa of permissibility? Yesterday, day before yesterday, they took the name, I won't take the name, they said, this mufti sahab said it's permissible for women to graveyard, and this is the condition. As the mufti sahab, be honest, you think all these conditions will be fulfilled? So why open the loophole? Why open the back door? So say what Quran, hadith say, not permissible, you curse, end of the story.
Her sister says, Yo Ustad, she says, this morning, Mulana Arafat was busy sending out the podcast, and she forwarded the podcast to everybody, and she got a very bad feedback from people, and they say, yeah, what proof? There's no proof what mufti sahab is saying. So the sister says, what about the police officer that spoke about our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Your time will come, brother. Don't play with the words now. Allah knew what was in your heart when you said it. To start, anonymous sister.
Remember what proof you want. I told you that the question was regarding Uqsa and many more things I'm going to add now. Inshallah, let me see my time. Yeah, I'll summarize it by then. Inshallah, before the break we get. So remember that the issue was that Uqsa welcomes the president's decision to open the mosque and the places of worship. So that's the question that people ask. So everything I said, we got proof for it. So you must remember, Uqsa were the one who told the people, close the mosque. And they closed their own mosque, whether it be 5 days before time, 1 week before time, 2 weeks before time, or whatever it is. So is that not a crime? That you, before the government told you, remember 27 March was the first day of lockdown, but they closed the masjid before time. So does Surah 2 verse 114 not apply? وَمَنَ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. That who he can be a bigger zalim, oppressor, transgressor than that person there? So remember, they are the biggest zalims and oppressors and tyrants. Quran is saying that. So that's crime number one. Crime number two, when sincere ulama went into the court and said that we want our masjid and masajid to be open, Uqsa went as the friends of the court and they put up such a fight more than the government and the state it itself. So you must, whose crime is that? I'm asking you. A horrible, terrible crime that will live with them till the day they die. And a shame and a disgrace on Uqsa, and they will have to die with that shame. Remember that. So that is second thing. Third one, when the verdict was passed on the Thursday, then Friday they released a statement. No, they also want that the opening of the masjid, they made a U-turn. So what more proof you want? Crime number three. And crime number four is this, that deciding and currying favor with the government to show that no, what you say, so their allegiance is more to the government than to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and to Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is what is showing from all these type of things. Where is your allegiance? Is your allegiance to Almighty Allah? Is your allegiance to Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And then I made three fatwas, I passed three fatwas. All this we got documented. The one of them said that what you're making a big deal, it's just one Friday, one Jumu'ah. It went to 10 Jumu'ah. People can't go to the masjid, including this Jumu'ah. That is making istighfaf, just considering something to be a small thing. So what you're making a big thing? So to read Salat behind him is not permissible. Then the other one said he cancelled Jumu'ah. That's what he said. You can ask them in Cape Town what he said. So you must remember that. So he said, no, Jumu'ah is cancelled. So who gave you the right? Are you a legislator? Are you the Pope? Or what? And so we reject Pope, we reject your legislation. So that person, you can't read Salat behind him. Third one is that person who said that you must remember if you go to the masjid, he was telling the brother, and you know you will get the virus, it'll come into you, you'll get sick, you could die, and so many things. So all these three, you can't read Salat behind them, it's not permissible. And I told you the second fatwa, all the institutions, whether it's their radios, whether it's their TV, whether it's their organizations, is haram for you to give money to them. Whether it's your lillah, sadaqah, zakat, whatever. Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 5, verse number 2. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْأُدْوَانِ. And remember that you can't help and assist in crimes, in sin and transgression. Is this not transgression? They're not even prepared to apologize, come on air and say they were wrong. They're behaving like Iblis because of their arrogance and their pride and so forth. Aba wa stakbara, an act of defiance, an act of pride and arrogance. So how did the Iblis was right inside Jannah, Allah expelled him. So this is what's happening to them. The whole ummah can see how humiliated, disgraced they are. They can do all the damage control they want to. Quran says, وَمَن يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. That remember, when Allah disgraces a person, organization, there's none to give them honor. And they close the masjid. In Ramadan, they said, close the masjid, depriving the ummah from Eid Salat in the Eidgah and Masajid. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيُ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them in this worldly life, this disgrace and humiliation, Allah is saying, Surah 2, verse 114. So they end in the year after, a horrible, terrible punishment awaits them unless they make sincere tawbah in public. So remember, there's the second fatwa. First one, you can't read Salat behind them. Second fatwa we gave, that you can't give them any money contribution. Third fatwa, I said that I still believe and say there are many, many senior ulama in Uqsa. You must bring the change in the leadership. The leadership of Uqsa is rotten, is corrupted. You got some murtads there as well. So you must remember people who say Shia is a Muslim and they make pelly with the Shias. Are these Muslim? I'm asking you. Supposed to be your people's leaders. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. What face will you show tomorrow to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh, our mother Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, when the Shias are cursing and swearing them day and night? And you want to now associate with them? You want to say, no, we are brothers? Astaghfirullah. And that is your Uqsa. Your leadership is corrupt. The whole leadership must be fired. You must remember. And you, the sincere ulama, effect that change. If you can't effect that change, then remember that what you need to do is this, that you must resign. And for you to resign becomes wajib and compulsory. You cannot be a member of a corrupt organization like UQSA. Remember that. There's the three fatwas. And I said it in public. And you tell me, I haven't received, I finished all my WhatsApp messages this morning before the program. I haven't received one person who told me I don't have proof of what I say. And then you must remember, there in Natal, there's one Maulvi. People like to keep big titles, you know, the Pir Sahib and Sheikh Sahib. He's in the forefront also with UQSA. Close the masjid. But last 10 days, he takes his murids and he sits for etikaf. I'm asking you, you're not a munafiq? You're not a hypocrite. These are the people, pakka munafiqeen, they are these people. That's for a long time ago I told you I disassociated with them. And I said to read salat behind them is not permissible, some of them. So you must remember their nifaq, their hypocrisy is coming out day by day. And this is Allah Ta'ala disgracing them. Any person, let me make this clear today. We are live now on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are live on Sirius FM, and remember that you recording me and my brother Tobela is preparing the podcast. We will send it out. I was everything transparent, alhamdulillah. When a person, listen carefully, when a person attacks any Sahabi, from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and our mother Sayyida Aisha and my brother Tobela, you know that one nazam we had of Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha. We played it right in the beginning when we start. I want you in the break time to play that one, please, because we need to get the iman strong of the listeners, inshallah. Don't forget our mothers Sayyida Aisha, Sayyida Khadija, Sayyida Hafsa, so radiallahu anhunna. So any person attacks the honor, the integrity of Sahaba, male or female, then see how Allah defends them. What Allah says, I'm giving you two verses. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Those people who criticize the Sahaba, is the battle of Tabuk in the 90th year of the Hijrah. It is the month of Rajab. And remember, they were contributing. When they contributed huge substantial amounts, like Sayyidina Usman, the Munafiqeen of that time used to say, Mura'in, you're just showing off. And when the poor Sahaba came, caught a kilo, half kilo, what days? Say, just wasting time. What good is this? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. They were mocking them, mocking the Sahaba, criticizing the Sahaba. Allah says, how dare you criticize the Sahabi? سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah will mock you in this world. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Wallahi, when I took the stance that Shias are non-Muslims with the help and mercy of Allah, so many people swearing me, cursing me, and taking me to court and what? See every one of them. Every one of them. Allah humiliated in this world. We still say, brother, sister, make tawbah. Tomorrow you will die, and you will die with the Shias, and you'll be dispatched to Jahannam. That's Quran saying. Walahum adhabun alim. That is UQSA. I challenge you, UQSA, why don't you pass a fatwa today and tell me that that is your people's president, secretary, your executive, all of you. This is your fatwa, that Shias are non-Muslim out of the fold of Islam. Your crimes are too many, remember this, because your allegiance is with the government and no more with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, when the government says something, you'll just jump. We don't want organizations like that. You have sold out the Ummah, and today you are getting the public lashing, and the Ummah has seen through you, and our fatwa stands. Remember, you can't read Salat behind this tree. One person sent me a message. He said, we must call them the three Jamarats. I say, call them whatever you want to. So you must remember, second one, you can't give them any money. Remember, totally haram. Third one, you, the ulama, respected ulama, sincere ulama, ulama, I'm begging you, it's your akhirat, tomorrow you have to die, you have to go into your grave, don't say, I did not warn you, others did not warn you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ I have to die, you have to die, we all have to answer. If you can't effect the change, then resign. You don't need these organizations that are corrupted. And you Maulvis who go behind the back of people and say, keep the masjid closed, but you go for etiquette, what must I call you? Must I not call you a munafiq and hypocrite? Hmm. So you must remember this. We will keep on calling them munafiqeen till they pass the fatwa against the Shias and until they apologize and ask the Ummah for forgiveness for the crime that they committed, going to court and saying the masjid must remain closed. That is our case and I rest my case.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. 26 minutes to 12. I got another question on that, but anyway, we're going to go for an interval, Ustad. We go for an interval. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz, the Sahaba, and the listeners of Series FM, don't go away. Stay tuned.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
22 minutes to 12. My beloved Fadilatul Ustad, putting everyone in tears this morning on our bliss of marriage. Somebody says here, Ustad, Islamic radio stations and TV stop misguiding the believers, standing behind the disbelievers. You will go to hell. Start to repent. Some Islamic radio stations closing their shops. Close your station to save yourselves. Somebody says, Mufsab, everyone is speaking bad about you, Mufsab. You're only educating us.
Remember, the truth is always better, brother. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qul al-haq walau kana murra." Speak the truth. Anything I said, prove me wrong. So simple. Anything I said, tell me, I bring the evidence, we'll bring our evidence. So, قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّا Speak the truth, even though the truth is better. Quran Kareem states, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ So, remember this. I'm telling you, I had hundreds of messages, I didn't receive one that could prove me wrong or said that anything I said was wrong. All were in praise. So, we think Allah is not we, it's only Allah, Allah's mercy, Adam and Fadli Rabbi, when we started Markaz Sahaba, that was the Naad, the Nazam we started with. And I told Brother Tobela, MashaAllah, Allah reward our Brother Tobela and the entire team, we started with this motive and Allah knows our intention that we want to protect the honor and namus of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, protect the honor of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and protect the namus and the honor of all the Sahaba and 100% dead against the Shia, Qadianis, Agahanis, and all these satanic elements that are misguiding the Ummah. I told you this morning, and it's authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad, that worse fitna than Dajjal, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a'immai mudrillin. So are those Maulvis, those Sheikhs, those Muftis, call them whatever you want to, they themselves corrupted and leading the people astray themselves. So that is Quran, that is Sunnah. If you want to break the arguments, then bring also Quran, Sunnah. Don't come with stories.
Somebody says, Ustaz, remember the saying Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim said, only the dogs that don't know you will bark. Get to know Allah, talk less, watch what you say and to who. Protect your tongues. This one says from overseas, mothers and sisters in Islam, respect our seniors in Islam. Respect our beloved Ustad, Mufti Saab. We should not be heard. Our voice is haram. Leave the media for our men. Watch them lying when in media and public. Cover up. Don't disrespect seniors that talk the truth. It's hard to accept, but it's the truth. The ones that sugarcoat things don't love you for the pleasure of Allah, Ustad.
Alhamdulillah, the public are seeing now where the truth is and where the propaganda and the lies and everything is becoming manifest. Still more things will come out. When they repent sincerely in public, then things will change. Till they try and justify, remember then it's same like the Iblis. Iblis was in Jannah and Allah expelled him, kicked him out. So similarly, they were thinking that they met the president and they met this one and All that means nothing by Almighty Allah when you are deceiving is the people who are in this ummah. When you close the masjid deliberately, intentionally, that's not a saghira, a minor sin. It's not kabira, a major sin. It's akbarul kabair, one of the worst sins a person can commit. The enemies of Islam, what ulama can we speak of doing these type of things? An absolute shame and disgrace.
Has you got a listener from Cape Town, Ustad? This is Buta Farooq. He says, I hear you, respected Mufti Sahib. I hear you this morning on a Safina to Al-Jannah. Why don't we call up a meeting? Why don't we face them face to face, Ustad? Buta Farooq.
Everybody knows my stance. Everybody knows where I stay. Everybody knows all that. So what they going to say? So we're giving them all the proof and evidence. If they got even a shred of respect, self-respect, they would resign and leave their post. But the perks are too much, my brother. Quran Kareem said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, believe in the unseen. Hala had khaseh, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجَيْبِ, who feel connect and may suck stick. So how much can I put in my pocket? So you must remember that. All these halal organizations of yours, Cape Town and Joburg and here and there, what is all that? Allah is not money-making schemes. So you must remember this, that halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written. Therefore, it's haram to support them. I told you that long time.
Somebody says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. I stand by your words because our beloved Nabi Sallam said, the best place for the men in the masjid is the masjid. I stand what you say 100%, Ustad. This is anonymous. Somebody wants to know your Ustad. He says, Molana, a hungry woman is an angry woman. Short-tempered men are none the better. How do we keep our neighbors quiet during Ramadan, Ustad?
So Ramadan is finished, brother. You must speak of Shawwal now. You must remember that you have to keep the sixth Shawwal fast. I told you regarding Shawwal, three things you must do. Number one, get your sons, daughters married. It's the best month to get you. And we bless of marriage, so let's discuss this now. Shawwal. So what must we do in Shawwal? Three things. Number one, Siddiqah. We just heard about Siddiqah. Subhanallah. How can we forget our mother? Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq. She is Siddiqa, one of the most beloved wives to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And her father was the greatest personality for all times, all places, after the Anbiya and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam. So you must remember, in cases like that, we must defend the honor of every Sahabi, even if we give our life, and defend our masajid to open without restrictions. Another point I mentioned. Isn't it strange? I'll come back to this just now about Shawwal. Isn't it strange? I confirmed it now, Molana. Mm-hmm. Then the morning I wasn't 100% sure. When people go to the banks, there's no restriction of 50. When people go to supermarket, there's no restriction. When the pubs and the bars and all that open for alcohol, there's no restriction for 50. But for our places of worship, we have restriction. So the Muslims, for our masajid, for the Christians, their churches, for the Jews, their synagogues, and the Hindus, their temples. So my question I'm asking, but why? Isn't it a fair question? So why not in the bank? Why not in the supermarket? Why not for the pub where the people are going to get drunk and so forth? You must remember many a time and so forth. Therefore, Islam said every drop of alcohol is haram. Intoxicants are haram. So that's a fair question. So we must remember this. So this whole lockdown story, you must remember, is an assault and an attack against religion and more so upon Islam. Remember that. Therefore, they took away our Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us. Some brothers will go next week, Jumu'ah, or from Monday onwards, 1st of June. After 2 months, they'll be entering a masjid. Yep. That is the reality. 10 Jumu'ahs. Can you believe? So you must remember that. That is the reality. So coming to Shawwal, you must remember that three things you are required to know. That our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi shawwal. That Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me and performed nikah with me during the month of Shawwal. Our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had no children. So what she did, you must remember, encourage her nephews, nieces, family members, get married in Shawwal, get married in Shawwal. And if you know Mishkat Sharif, the commentary Mirqat, in there you will find that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gave this ulama such foresight, insight, everything they would study, you know. So Himullah Ali Qari made research, and subhanallah, he said that Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's nikah with Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the 10th of Shawwal. So remember, today you saying in South Africa is the 3rd, so next week Wednesday is the 10th. So mashallah, that you get your son, your daughter married. Lockdown, no lockdown, you can perform the nikah. What is there? My son is here, you must remember, in Durban, and the lady, he was in Johannesburg, and my the daughter, somebody's daughter is there in Durban. So you just appoint a wakil and get them married. At least they can start talking a halal way and all that, not the haram WhatsApps and all that going on nowadays. So get your daughter, sons, and cheap, everything will be done also. You don't have to spend thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions. Second one will be fasting. Remember, I'm inundated with this question as well. So you keep the Ramadan fast, all 30 fast, and then you keep the Shawwal fast. You can start tomorrow, next week, whenever. You can keep it consecutively. You can miss few days. All that is permissible. But you miss certain fasts of Ramadan. So first you have to keep the qadha, and then you keep the Shawwal fast. You can't be keeping Shawwal fast and leaving qadha. Allah Ta'ala is going to ask me and you about that, which is compulsory. So it's like reading nafil salat, but we're not worried about all the qadha salat we must, Allah forbid. So remember, we're not performing that. So that's totally not acceptable. So ma salakakum fi saqar, qalu lam nakum minal muswallin. So first the qadha, and then you worry about the Shawwal, and you can't combine both. You say, no, tomorrow Thursday I will keep Shawwal and qadha. No, not permissible. So according to majority scholars, you must keep qadha only. Then after 1 week, 2 weeks, you keep your Shawwal fast. So number one is about the nikah, second one is about the fasting, and the third one, remember, is regarding the Hajj. So slowly, everything is opening day in Saudi Arabia, inshallah. The Haramain Sharifin, we make dua, we cry, we petition, ameen, Almighty Allah, then read daily 2 rakat salat, and read Surah 2 verse 128, wa arina manasikana wa tubalina innaka antat tawwabur rahim. From Eidul Fitr to Eidul Adha, remember that those are the months of Hajj, al hajju ashhurum ma'lumat, and that is what you must remember. So therefore Shawwal has these three important perspectives and dimensions: the nikah, the fasting, and it is the month of Hajj. In normal situation, if a person today fasten is ihram for Hajj, he's going to perform Ifrad Hajj, he's going to perform Qiran Hajj, totally permissible. So you must remember that the months of Hajj have started already. Allah Jalla Wala, through His infinite grace, mercy, benevolence, remove all the obstacles and let all the Hujjaj min kulli fajjin amiq, as the Quran Sharif states, from all far and distant places, be able to go to Medina Munawwara, become the mihman and the guest of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go to Makkah Mukarramah, perform Umrah, perform Hajj, and inshallah on the 9th of Zilhijjah, they on Maidan Arafat, Maulana Arafat, Allah Jalla Wala make it a reality.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. Ustada, there's a sister here crying. She's crying and she says that we're listening to you, Mufti Sahib, this morning on the bliss of marriage. I'm 29 years old. My little baby, who is a baby girl, 6 months, her name is Bibi Aisha. So she says, please, Mufti Sahib, tell us a little bit about our beloved mother, Ummahatul Mu'min, Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she says, Mufti Sahib, too many hypocrites. No one will come forward and challenge you, Mufti Sahib. This is anonymous sister, Ustad.
So you ended it on a nice note.
She was happy.
Anyway, Jazakallah khair, sister. Make dua for us. Everything happens not with anything with us. Hada min fadli Rabbi. This is the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So we all must remember, who is Siddiqa binti Siddiq. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's mother is Umm Ruman, and father is Sayyid Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. And remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in a dream that this is going to be his wife, the master alayhi salatu wasalam's honorable wife, fi dunya wal akhirah. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha. One more reason, you know why? Among creation, everything humanly possible, what Sayyidina Abu Bakr did, no one could do. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised him so much and said, Ya Abu Bakrin, radiallahu an, Allah will reward you for all what you did. So Allah honored him even more. Surah 9, verse 40, Thaniyathnain, the second of the two. He's the second of the two in the cave, second of the two when they entered Medina, second of the two on the Muswalla of Nabi alayhi salam. 17 salat he performed as imamat in the hayati and life mubarak of the master alayhi salam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, when the munafiqeen and hypocrites cast aspersions, allegations, accusations, Allah forbid against her, and today the same kuffar shias are celebrating, making big cakes and saying Aisha finnar, 100% the kuffar out of the fall of Islam. So you and this Uqsa want to carry favor with them also. So anyway, you must remember Allah came to her defense. She says, go read the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. I remember when I used to teach that day in Darul Uloom and so forth, I myself, the students, we all used to cry. So you must remember this, how Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha was crying. She went, took permission, went to her house, and her father, mother, consoling, pacifying, she said she knew Allah Jalla wala will exonerate her, prove her innocence. But she said, she thought it will come and that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will speak about it. But she was beyond her perception. Allah will reveal Quranic verses for her. Allah Jalla wala revealed Surah 24 verses 11 to 26 for Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha. 16 verses revealed for Mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and yet the Shias don't accept it. They will say these verses don't refer to her, refer to this. So they have and had that 100% hatred for beloved Sahaba. Majority, 90% Sahaba, they say, or more, have become murtad and out of the fold. So when you say that, we say you are 100% out of the fold of Islam, and that is what you should know. And sister, you want to know one thing so you can tell you are Umm Aisha. You can tell your beautiful Aisha. Look at the Ithar. Look at the sacrifice she made. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried. Siddiq Akbar said, Abu Bakr Siddiq is buried. She used to say, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, I had this intention in my heart that when I pass away, she passed away in the year 57. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an performed a salatul janaza, and 59, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he passed away. Nevertheless, that I will be buried next to my honorable husband, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll be buried next to my father. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu expressed the desire when he was Khalifa, and she said, fine, that I give you preference. Atharutuka ala nafsi, I give you preference over myself. But Sayyidina Umar was a genius. He told his son Abdullah, see, when I asked her, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, permission radiallahu anha, I was Khalifa. When I pass away, go ask her permission again. And see, if she gives permission, you bury me next to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said Abu Bakr, and then I'll be buried. If she doesn't give permission, then take me to Baqi and bury me there. Even at that time, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha so showed that jiska zarf bara ho, Allah in gubara bana deta hai. Whosoever has a magnanimous heart, Allah will elevate. You must remember their rank and status. See how Allah elevated. Sayyida Umar is buried there. She is buried, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, in Baqi. But her name shines and glitters. 2,210 ahadi she reported. So that is the sign of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We will give our life to defend the honor of the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved Sahaba. Therefore, for our name, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Ustaz, you have to listen to this one here. It says here, Muftisab, all your students from Darul Uloom will stand for you in Cape Town. This is Hafiz Riyaz, Ustaz. It says, students from Newcastle and Qasim Uloom in Cape Town, Ustaz. From Qasim Uloom in Cape Town.
Big dua, big dua.
Allah.
It's a jihad, long jihad this is, to educate the ummah and to make their aqidah correct. And inshallah, we get all our masajid, this campaign we started regarding the masajid. We're still not happy. We want our masajid to be open without restriction. If you got no restriction for banks, for supermarkets, for these bars and these pubs and whatever else you call them, then why restriction upon our places of worship? I still cannot fathom that. So our struggle continues, and remember our ultimate aim to take us to Aqsa al-Mubarak. We have to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa as well from the apartheid Zionist regime applying their Nazi tactics. So that is our aim, and to eradicate the corruption of the Shias and their propaganda, the Kufr propaganda, and our Maulvis who are with them, remember they are Munafiqeen, there's no doubt about that.
Somebody said to Ustad, could you tell them Qasimul Uloom is after Hazrat Maulana Marhum Maulana Qasim Sema, Ustad?
100%, you must remember Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sema left South Africa in 1935. In 1942, he came back and was torpedoed in the SS Tilawa. Then Maulana went back, and 1944 he returned, and he did service there in Washbank for 23 years. Remember that. Lo and behold, in 1973, he started Darul Newcastle, the first Darul in the world that was teaching in English. And mashallah, 1983, we had our first graduates. 7 of them graduated. What a historic occasion. Maulana Qasim Sema's name will always shine. I tell the people, go to the graveyard in Newcastle and just look at the graveyard. You will see one grave and the tree is there. Only one. And you can see it from far. Asluha thabit wa faruha fi sama. The tree is inside, and the leaves and everything right on top. And what else he did, Maulana Qasim Sema rahimahullah, he translated the Quran Sharif in Zulu. Who does all this? So he dedicated his life. But he told me that time, and not once, many times, he said the ulama, and mostly from Transvaal. That also, I mentioned it there in Newcastle in our, you must remember, in our reunion. He told me that when I started Darul Uloom, the ulama who opposed me the most were the ulama from Transvaal. And there are many reasons which I can't go into now, there's no time. So anyway, Allah give one and all hidayat. Allah Ta'ala is He. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah Jalla Wala give Khan Mona Sema and Appa Sakina, all of them Jannatul Firdaus. They know the sacrifices they made. And we were there, mashallah, for 20 years with Maulana. So it was excellent. We learned so many things. Inshallah, for today, let's give you the program. 12 o'clock will be news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, 12 to 1, current affairs with Brother Alfas in Kosi, 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, and then inshallah that Surah Ankabut and verses 12 to 15 today inshallah, and then we'll continue with Surah Nur verse number 49 inshallah, our starting point, and thereafter 2 to 3, today is
Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Tuesday. Yeah, today we got Q&A. Today we got Q&A. Maulana, you coming for Q&A? Just for today, Wednesday. So inshallah, Maulana will come, inshallah.
What time is it to start?
2 to 3, inshallah. It's just for today, because that one day they didn't. So today there's Q&A again, between 2 and 3. It's only for today, then finish. So you must remember, I also forgot about it. So 2 to 3 is Q&A, inshallah. Then 3 to half past 3 will be the repeat of this morning's program. Half past 3 to half past 5, inshallah, will be Brother Amin Templeton. Then 5:30 to 6, inshallah, will be the surah. 6 to 7, Mohana Khalid. 7 to upper 7 will be the repeat of my tafsir. And 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be Mohana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 9 will be Dr. Umar, and our host will be Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan in the medical file program. So Dr. Ridwan Umar and Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. So we gave you the program from now right till inshallah 9 o'clock. So my my brothers, that today between 2 and 3 also is a special Q&A. So anything on your mind, inshallah, Arafat will be here. He's firing on all cylinders after two days rest, inshallah. You'll come back, inshallah. You're coming back, right, brother?
Inshallah.
Allah reward you. Barakallahu feek. Allah ta'ala accept. Our brother Tobela will organize the podcast. We'll send it out, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I leave with this beautiful message. The sister says, my heart used to pain so much when people talk about our Mufti Sahib. He's only educating us for free, with so much of pain in his heart. The ones that don't have anything good to say, keep quiet. Listen. Your time will come to speak when you have something good to say. You think Allah never heard our du'as? Then, when us disrespected our Mufti Sahib. We leave you in love, inshallah. See you guys between 2 to 3 this afternoon with the Q&A. From myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.